All right, what is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode here on the Lure Lab. It is episode number 78. And I can't believe we're closing in here soon in 22 more weeks, right, on episode 100. So maybe we'll have to think of something to do to celebrate the 100th episode. So stay tuned. You know, the shows come out weekly every Saturday morning. So we've got 22 weeks until we get there. It's just crazy to think that we're a year and a half in already, and this is our topic today and bait and technique we're talking about is something that's probably long overdue on the show for advanced anglers all the way to the beginning humble roots of bass fishing. Like, this is a technique that everyone should have, and we're kind of skipping over the technique and going straight into a bait. And our guest today is joining us is Justin Largen of Kayak Fishing Weekly, also a part of the Serious Angler Network. And it's springtime. It's the time of year to bust out this technique. And we're talking wacky worms, specifically the Missile Baits 48 worm. So I want to get Justin on here because I think he's thrown this bait a time or two, and it's not one that I am very familiar with. So let's dive in, learn all about the 48 by Missile Baits, and let's get Justin on. Hey, Justin, how's it going, man?
Good, Andy. How are you?
Good. I feel like I just saw you a couple days ago on our fantasy fishing show over on the Serious Angler Network, which, I mean, Harris Chain's going off right now. I bet there's a few anglers throwing a 48 or wacky-styled stick bait around. I mean, one that always comes to mind, right, would be John Cox, and I didn't think he was doing very good, and there he is in the top five with a big bag, and you know what he's doing, probably. So.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Can't wait for live tomorrow to see him whipping around a spinning pole and a Senko. But, yeah, this one's kind of cool, right? Like, Missile Baits 48, it's a bait that I'm not very familiar with or good with. I'll be honest, I try not to throw a wacky stick bait at all because I'm, like, doom and gloom. Power fishing or like super finesse and nowhere in between. And I try to avoid docks like the plague, but it's something that I know is super beneficial or throwing it around cover up shallow. So let's dive right into it, right? Like, Missile Baits 48, what is it? What are its advantages? And why is it different than any other stick bait on the market?
Well, it's I guess the short answer is it is a soft plastic stick worm. It's, you know, think Senko, and just different fall rate is kind of the, probably what I would say the biggest difference is. And it's funny that you should mention Florida. I don't remember if it was Harris Chain or if it was St. John's, but that was kind of the first time that I really saw this bait used, was Derek Hudnall down there. I think he was slinking. I mean, he's Florida. He was throwing June bug, just a weightless stick worm, and was crushing fish. I think I want to say
probably St. John's. It was probably St. John's.
It's been a few years, but that was kind of the first time I was like, man, this guy's on live and just, you know, fairly simple setup, but crushing them. And it's you know, I was a little late to the party, but this bait I've gotten really fond of. It's a fish catcher. You know, I'm kind of like you. If I can catch them with power baits, you know, top water, throwing a spinner bait, winding something, I like to do that. But like, realistically, it doesn't always work that the fish, you know, they're not always cooperating, you know, chasing the moving baits. And when it's tough, this is just a killer technique, especially like you said, this time of year, down here in Virginia. You know, we're quickly approaching the spawn. You know, these fish are up shallow, and that's probably my favorite time of the year to throw this guy.
So what are the advantages like a Missile Baits 48? What makes it different than your traditional stick bait, right? Like, stick baits, when you pull them out of the package, tend to be either 4 or 5 inches, depending on whatever brand you look at. And they're this long, slender, tapered out bait, usually thicker at the head and thinner at the tail. And I think the 48, from reading on it, because it's not a bait that I've thrown, it's thicker like on both sides and thinner in the middle, if I'm correct, right?
I'm not sure how well it's showing up on the camera, but it's basically, yeah, it's bulbous kind of on the end, and it's I can't tell that one end is bigger. To me, like to the naked eye, they look identical, the ends, and it tapers down a little bit in the middle. So it's a little bit different design. And the plastic, you know, everybody knows how effective a Senko is. But I guess the way that they make it with salt, it has that nice, you know, kind of quick fall, even with, you know, without any weight on your hook. This guy is going to be a little bit slower, but I actually kind of like that, because it gives me a little bit of versatility. I can throw that bait weightless and have it hang above grass, or just stay really high in the water column. You know, we're getting close to the spawn. When you got fry garters, a lot of time, you know, on the sunny days that fries up high, when that bait, you know, this bait will stay up there, in them a little bit longer, but then I can rig it with a weighted hook, like a weighted wacky hook, and get closer to that shimmy of a Senko. So to me, it's a little more versatile. Believe it or not, I've gotten to where I just don't carry the Senkos, not because they don't catch fish, but because I'm always trying to, in a kayak, limit what I'm taking as much as possible. And that's a way for me to do it, is basically take one tool, a couple different hooks for it, and I can adjust how that bait falls. And it's also a more durable plastic. It doesn't tear up quite as easily. So, you know, I don't know what the average number of fish I catch per bait is, but it's probably more like 5 or 6.
As opposed to one.
Exactly.
Maybe two.
So if you're, you know, budget conscious, you know, these are a nice option. And I should have mentioned this earlier, but the reason they call it the 48, 4.8 inches. It's crazy.
It's a good size.
I did not think of that.
No, and I think the price points on them is like something to talk about, right? So like other brands, or some of them are $8 for 10, some are $3.99 for 8. I think the 48 comes in a pack of 8, correct? And then they're somewhere between $5 and $6. So like it's very
costly. I want to say it's $4.99, but don't hold me to that. Everybody check out Omnia.
Yeah, and I was going to get to that point. I think they were $5.69 on Omnia, but down below, and I always fail to mention this at the beginning of the show, but down below in the description, the 48 will be listed down there below, so you can click right on the link and head over to Omnia and check it out. And if you type in code SERIOUS10 at checkout, you'll actually save 10%. So that'll drive the price down to almost $4.99 for those who are looking to buy it. Save 10% on $5.70, so you save 57 cents per bag, which is pretty good. Every 10 bags is a free bag, right? So it's one way to do fish math real quick. But, you know, we're talking about like how you rig it and stuff, and I want to get into that. And the thing that intrigues me about the Missile Baits 48 is the fact that there are multiple ways to rig this bait as opposed to just wacky rigging it and different types of jig heads and stuff, that things you can do to really enhance the fishing capability of the 48. And I do like the one thing I did read when I was doing some research on it earlier is I think John designed it in a way that if you are Texas rigging it, which we're going to throw out, you can always Texas rig a stick worm. And this is one of my favorite parts about the 48. And I'm going to buy some because of this. I've read that he designed it in a way that if it tears up one side, you can just hook it on the other and keep fishing it, which is incredible. Yeah.
That is actually, you know, everybody thinks, you know, wacky, you know, standard kind of circle hook, wacky rig. And I do that. But it's not my favorite way. If I can catch them with a Texas rig, that's what I'll use, a weightless Texas rig, because I can rig it. And you know, you see if I can get one of these hooks out of the package without sticking myself.
Oh, what hooks do you have there?
They're Eagle Call Laser Sharp.
Oh, you like those?
Yeah, these are the ones with it's anything with Jason Christie's picture on it, I've found tends to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You can get these at Walmart.
No lie.
They're not very expensive. And I'm typically going to throw I'm throwing an 8-pound test, which is probably where I'm going to start with this in most situations. It's more of a finesse technique. You know, if it's, you know, if I'm around docks or you know, a lot of times clear water. Eight is probably my starting point. I've thrown it and caught fish on six. I've thrown it up to 12, you know, with a relatively short leader around some heavier grass, but I generally stay in that eight and 10. And I like this. It's the lighter wire one. They do make a heavy gauge one. I like the lighter wire one with the lighter line. If I was going to go throw it on straight braid, say in some real thick, you know, matted up grass or something, throw it to holes, you could go with straight braid. And I'd probably go with the, let's see, do I have the other one? I don't have the heavier wire one with me, but I'd go with the heavier wire at that point just so you're not bending it out. But, I mean, everybody knows a Texas rig. And what I've found is you can, with most baits, you know, you tear up, after you tear up one side and it won't stay straight, you can actually just flip it around. So I've got it coming out the one side. I can just flip it and have it come out the other side on the same end. And then, you know, after this one gets torn up and it won't stay up there the way I want it to when I'm skipping it, you just flip it around and it's basically the exact same dimensions on either side. So I've made one bait go a very long ways when, you know, when you're in that tournament situation, you didn't think you were going to need it. You only got one pack. You can make it last.
I mean, and that's huge for like guys that not just when you're fishing out of a kayak or if you're fishing on a limited budget or you're hiking in and fishing ponds, right? Like
walking the bank.
You don't have to bring in a ton of baits. And that was like the thing that I found most intriguing about the 48 is the fact that you can rig it multiple ways. And also when you're Texas rigging it, you can rig it essentially three more times after the initial rigging and hopefully catch multiple bass on one bait unless you break off. And, you know, like in the state of the economy we're in the United States and around the world, we don't want to dive into that. It's good to have baits that catch fish and also last a while, and you can rig multiple ways and get a lot of use out of it. So Texas rig is, go ahead.
I was just going to make one other point on this. I like this hook and it's probably not showing up as well as I would like, but the angle on this hook is such that that hook point sits just right up against the plastic flush. And I could just barely skin hook it. I really like that aspect of it. I get much better hookups, and that's probably why this is my favorite rigging style. I don't have it's nice to be able to twitch the worm and have the ends come together wacky style, but every, I don't know, 10, 20 fish, you'll have that one where the fish eats it, it balls up and you go to lean into it and it just hooks into itself and you come back with nothing. And I hate that.
Great. Me too. Drives me insane.
So this, if I can get him to eat it this way, I'll do it. And you can use it almost like a fluke. I'm not going to be twitching it real fast and working it, you know, that way, but I can twitch it, you know, while it's falling and get it to do little short darts. Not getting crazy with it, but I'll occasionally give it a twitch or two, while I'm letting it sink. And it's a simple bait. I mean, everybody knows wacky rig, just throw it out and kind of let it do its thing. Yeah.
Give it a couple pulses on that, slack line, etc. So what are some other ways that you rig it? I think there's multiple different ways that I read that you could rig this bait, and I'm just curious, what are some other uses that you found that it's good for?
So that's my favorite. I'll show you the circle hook, another shocker, Jason Christie hook, just a standard wacky hook. The other one, this one is a little bit thicker diameter. I think there's another one that's a little thinner. If I'm going six or eight, I really like the Sixth Sense hook. It's another one that you can find at Walmart. But either one of those, simple, you know, everybody knows the traditional wacky style. I'll try and do that real quick. And then the one that I go to when I want a little bit, I want it to get down or I want that faster fall rate, you know, your standard wacky. It's actually the Berkley Fusion. I think it's the Berkley Fusion 16th ounce is the one that I prefer. It's a weighted wacky head.
Oh, yeah. So like the Flick Shake head.
Yep.
Man, exactly. That's such a lost art. People don't throw it anymore. It was hot for like, I don't know, like 10 minutes in 2009, mm-hmm. I feel like, when Jackal came out with the Flick Shake Worm, and I'm not comparing apples to apples, but they had like their own jig head with it. It's cool that there's all these people, well, not even people, there's still companies that make a Flick Shake style head. And that's what I was going to get to, and I was going to ask you if you do any like Flick Shake style weighted wacky rig, and
it works. I like it a lot. There was a tournament down in Texas a couple years ago where we had this massive cold front come through. There was ice, you know, depending on the part of the lake you were in, there were guys. I mean, our rudder lines were freezing on the kayaks. Some guys were having to bust through ice to launch that morning. Water temperatures dropped down to mid 40s, I think, 45, 47. And I had a terrible first day and went out the second day, which I decided I was going to get bites the second day. I put on 6 pound line, a medium action spinning rod or medium power spinning rod, this guy, and just went and threw it at standing trees. And it's got a slow fall with that 6 pound line. You don't have a ton of resistance. You've got a little bit of weight. So I'm getting, I don't know that it's exactly the same speed. It may be still a little bit slower than a Senko, but I'm getting closer to that fall. I was able to get it down. Now I was catching fish in, I don't know, 7 to 12 foot. I think most of them were sitting. But one of the best days of tournament fishing I ever had, I caught an 8 pounder on 6 pound line with that guy. Ooh. And that guy, I think that's my biggest or my heaviest competition fish.
That's awesome. And I kayak, so that had to have been probably a 22-inch fish, 22-inch fish.
22 even, just big fat pre-spawn fish. And fun, you know, I just let beautiful. It. I guess I fought that fish much like you would fight those northern smallmouth. I just let it do its thing and tried to follow it. And
I got prayed up on a
swim
boat.
Around the trees.
You would laugh at the way I fight these fish. I hook them and they're coming in the boat, even on spinning rod. Like, and I know you know who Destin DeMarion is, I would assume. He was on the Elite Series. He's one of my good buddies, and we fished tournaments together. And this is a little tangent story. A couple years ago, we weighed like 29.3 in a tournament up here for our best five. And he had one that was almost 7. And it was comical at a point that we're fishing on a little reef and we're just mashing on 4 pounders. And we're boat flipping them with 6 pound test and spinning rods.
Oh my gosh, I've never done that.
Just hit them real, 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 real. And all of a sudden, as soon as they would come up next to the boat, you just lift. And they would jump right in the boat. And I'm that one's not going to work. Like, and I remember there was a boat fishing right next to us. And they're like, what are you guys doing? Like, I'm like... They're like, those are giant. We're like, oh, we don't need them. Then we left and ran to the next spot.
Did I hear right? 29 pounds of smallmouth?
29.3 is as far as we know, it's like the unofficial lake record out of Buffalo, New York in a derby. There's been 30-pound bags caught on the Canadian side, but I don't – if we look back, both of us and a couple of our buddies to try to find a bigger bag for Buffalo out of Buffalo itself, and we can't find anything. So
that's a special day.
It was, and we only had one fish at like 9:30, like 2.5 hours in. And then we just found a random wad of them. And it was like 6 pounder, 5 3/4, 5.5, 6. And we're like, what is going on? Like,
not even playing with 4 pounders. Yeah. Get in here, stupid.
And then with 4 pounder,
throw it back.
25 minutes left in the derby, he caught a 6.88. And we threw it in the boat, and I was like, I don't even, he's like, just grab one. I was like, so I grabbed one that looked the smallest, and I threw it back, and we like slowly like drove in. We're like, if we lose, like somebody cracked him. We knew we had like 27, 28, and we're like, we didn't weigh a single fish. And we're like, we pull them out. We're like, oh, we got a lot more than we think.
just grab one. That was the culling strategy.
All the 6 pounders were on one side. And then there was like, I think we had 3 over 6 when we put that big one in. And then we had like 2 that were like 4 3/4. And I'm holding them up. I'm like, I don't even know which one. Like, we had no calling beam, no scales. Like, I think this one.
That's something I've never said before. All the 6 pounders were on one side.
Yeah. Cool. Like, yeah. It was absolutely insane. Like, and I know we're on a huge tangent right now, and I apologize to everyone who's listening, but
it's fun.
The first one we put in the boat was like 6, and then we rolled up to another spot, and it was literally 5, 6, 5, 5.5, 4¾, 4¾, and we caught all of our fish in our first 5 casts when we rolled up in that spot. Like, called out, except for that big one. Like, the first one was like a 3.5, and I think Destin caught like a 5¾, and then I caught a 6, and I was like, this is unreal. Like, we need one more fish, and we just kept running around. Fish like 20 more waypoints every time we pull up somewhere is like 4.5. That's not gonna help. 4.5, and we're just boat flipping them in and spinning rods and 6-pound tests.
The longest smallmouth I've ever caught out of Virginia, I got last, I guess it was summer, technically summer or fall, I don't remember the exact date, but it was 21¾ inches, and it was like 4.5. So like, you're boat flipping the biggest smallmouth I've ever caught.
Yeah,
like, it's, all day long.
Like, well, the other day, I think I went out for, I was out all day, but it took me a while to get on because it was my first time on Buffalo out of Erie the day after the eclipse, so Tuesday. And when I found them, like, I'm going to have a video coming out on my personal YouTube here in a couple weeks once I decide to post it and edit it up. I literally caught the fire out of like 3¾ to 4.5-pound fish.
That is awesome.
Just under 27 pounds once I figured out what they were doing in 3 hours. Which we'll talk about those baits down the line. If anybody in Buffalo is listening, I don't want them quite to know what I was doing yet. So playing a little coy, but I gotta protect my guide fish. But let's suck back here, back into the 48. We're talking about like the flick shake style jig head weighted wacky hook. Are there any other ways that you like to rig the 48?
Those are the two primary. I have played around with a little bit. Specifically, it was the Potomac. I was playing around, and I'm not sure what you'd call it, but you know, Missile makes these little, and there's a bunch of companies that have similar ones. It's a Necco style weight, and you can stick it in the tail of these things. It's got a little keeper on it, if I can get one out. Nothing too fancy, but you can rig that. I think they make a 16th. Or no, 32nd all the way up to a 3/16. And you can pitch that into holes. And it's kind of cool. It, you know, I'll have it Texas rigged on the business end. I'll pitch it and it'll fall weight first. You can kind of lift it up out of the hole.
So you're not wacky rigging it and fishing it like a traditional Necco. You're doing like,
yep,
the back, is that like the backslide technique? Is that what you're talking about? Where when you pull it forward, if you put it slack, the bait will actually slide backwards. Is that what it's doing with that rigging?
It is. And it's, I mean, it's not like it's swimming, you know, all crazy backwards, but it basically, it's a way to fish the bait in place. And I'm doing it kind of holes in the grass or around grass clumps. So I don't like that open hook around the grass. It's something I've played around with on the Potomac, and I haven't done it a ton, but I've done it enough to know that it works.
Yeah.
And, of course I've got it all rigged crooked.
Yeah.
Pretend it's straight with the weight there. And it's, that's another way. I mean, at 32nd ounce weight is it's pretty dense. So it does cast pretty well. It skips pretty easily. I can skip it well, whether I'm doing it Texas style or I'm putting that wacky weighted hook on there. Or
now, would you recommend like a dab of super glue on the nail weight as well to keep it more in place?
I haven't found that I really need it, but it never hurts. I mean, it never hurts to put a dab of that glue on your knot or on your, you know, on that nail weight. But it's a pretty durable plastic, you know, like I said before, so it stays in there pretty good. And it's just another trick. I like throwing this a lot around grass. I've done really, you know, skipping boat docks, you know, same as you would with any other stick bait. That's really to me where this thing shines, in that shallow water. I've heard of guys cutting it. I've never done it. But you know, cutting it, I don't want to destroy my bait, but cutting it in half
and make it like a fluke bait.
Yeah, a little kind of a TRD. You know, basically just a Ned.
Yeah.
Ned style bait. You know, I like fishing a Ned rig, even less than I like some other finesse techniques. So, I can't say that I've done it personally, but I know some guys that have done that. I mean, you could take a finesse jig and do kind of the same thing. Use that stick worm as a trailer. I've heard of guys doing that. It's a sort of a bait that gives you some options. And
well, I mean, if you cut it in half, though, hear me out. If you cut it in half and throw it on like a mushroom head, now you're getting 16 baits for $4.99. So you're doubling your productivity with a very durable bait. So maybe they're the smart ones. And we're like, why didn't we do this before? Like, oh, that's dumb. You know, like, it's actually pretty smart. You're doubling up your baits for half the cost.
If memory serves, that's how the original Ned bait was kind of created, cutting a stick worm in half and using half of it.
There's only one side of it that really worked, though, because one side's too thick.
In my opinion,
they wanted the thin tail on it to wiggle. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
And this one, it's the same on both ends.
Perfect. So let's dive into this, right? Like, what are her, there's, I think I saw there's only like 8 or 9 colors of the 48. So what are your favorite colors to throw it in? And then let's dive into your setup to throw the 48, like rod, reel, and line combo. And then we'll wrap up the show here.
Green pumpkin. I mean, if I could only have one, it'd be green pumpkin. I feel like with that, I can catch fish in pretty much any watercolor. I do like some of the translucent colors for clean water, but if I could only have one, I pretty much have one pack of these, at least a pack of these in the kayak at all times, just because I know that when it gets tough, that's something I can get bites on. It's actually, well, I'll show you the other clear colors. When I'm fishing clean stuff, what I consider my biggest kayak win was up on Winnipesaukee a couple of years ago, and it was watermelon red.
Nice.
I threw watermelon red the first day, and I was fishing basically a marina, just skipping around docks. There were a bunch of post-spawn fish in there, and it was painfully slow. And I went back in the next day, changed the colors up. I use them kind of interchangeably. There's not really one that is my favorite, but this Gobi Bite color is really pretty. It's almost got a blue in it, but it's kind of a pearl blue on one side and sort of a green pumpkin on the other.
Yeah,
it's just really bait fishy. I've caught them down on Gunnersville around that eelgrass with both of those colors. But I like that Gobi Bite or the watermelon red for the real clear stuff. I mentioned green pumpkin is kind of, you can't really beat that anywhere. And then you can take dye pens even for, if you want to add a little bit of flash to it, put a little chartreuse dab on the end of it. I feel like that makes it look like a bluegill. I know there's a lot of guys that don't do that. They probably catch them just as well. But for me, that's a confidence thing. And then for dirty water, I like Superbug. It's kind of
is that like that green pumpkin black and blue color?
Yeah. So it's, again, I apologize if it's not showing up particularly well, but you got green pumpkin on one side.
There you go.
And then kind of a black blue, almost a June bug kind of on the other side.
Yeah.
That's the color that I threw on Fork. I like that color if the water's got some stain to it. And then Florida. You can't go wrong with June bug down there.
I mean, never.
That's the only one you really need, unless you're just in some super clear water around grass.
Yeah.
And then if you can find it, this is not it's a discontinued color.
Bubblegum. But
if you can find it, that bubblegum, the smallmouth, I've caught some nice river smallmouth on that.
Bed bait too, like if you're fishing the spawn so you can really see it.
Yep, that just kind of glows. It stands out. I don't know. I know it's discontinued. You may be able to find some on eBay. I was able to pick up a few there not too long ago. And then, scouring the tackle shops as you're, if you're traveling, that's one of those ones that, you might find in a bargain bin. That's a sneaky color.
I love that. I always get sad when like bubble gums get discontinued because it seems like there's only like a few select people that actually will throw it. And it's usually guys fishing around the spawn And I feel like down south, it's methylate is like the color go to down there. So yep. Up here, the northern guys will throw chartreuse, white, and pink. And
really,
it just stands out really well. Yeah. Like not all together, but like white or pure chartreuse or pink. Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah. I like it.
So, real fast before we go, like what is your setup to throw the 48 on? Generally, what you would use?
So I mentioned line, 8 pound test. I've done it a couple different ways. You can just go straight fluorocarbon. That's what I was doing on Winnipesaukee. With the 8 pound line, it's a small enough diameter. It'll still cast pretty well. You can still skip it fine. More lately, I've gotten to be more of a fan of the braid. It casts even better, with that light braid to a short leader. And then I'm typically going to throw it. Cashin's got an all purpose. I think it's a 7 foot, they call it an all-purpose rod, but it's a medium power, just a fast tip or a moderate fast tip. That's going to be great for either the wacky rig or the thin diameter Texas rig hook. If I'm going to throw a little bit heavier line, Rappahannock River, the Potomac, if I'm going to be around some real nasty stuff, say throwing around pads or something, or I'm potentially around big fish and docks, I like their Cashin's micro jig rod. I think it's 7-1. It's a medium heavy power and a fast tip. It's got a little bit more of a backbone. And then I'm going to go with up to 12 with that, you know, beefier hook. And I've caught some big snakehead actually doing that too.
Perfect. Just what we want, snakehead.
Oh yeah. Those things are delicious for anybody who hasn't tried them. Man, I know a lot of the Northeast guys, New York, Pennsylvania, come down and fish the Potomac, to get their tournament fix. And if you catch one of those, throw that thing in the cooler. They are delicious.
Really?
They look kind of rough, but man, they're good.
Yeah. Asian delicacy, right?
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
All those kinds of crazy fish. Well, Justin, is there any other points you want to hit on here about the 48 before we wrap it up?
No, I think we covered it. It's a good bait. Again, it might not be my favorite way to catch them, but when I need a bite, it's a fantastic way to catch those fish up shallow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's a cheaper stick worm on the market, and it sounds like it's highly durable. So I do recommend that whoever is listening at this point to drop down in the description and click on that link and head over to Omnia and check them out for yourself. So it's that time of year to start wacky rigging it and throwing a stick worm around. And I think this is one that we all need to add to our fish list, right? To get bites on. So I challenge everyone to go down, click that link down below and pick up some 48s and toss them around. And as always, tag us too, like Serious Angler, Kayak Fishing Weekly, if you're on the kayak side, or Lure Lab, tag us in your post and we'll share it. We love seeing everyone's successes on the water. But Justin, I'm sure we'll see each other again probably on Monday. So you're going to be a frequent flyer this week on the network, including your own show. So like your face is getting around at this point. I mean,
that's having fun. Cool.
Heck yeah. That's what it's all about. So I'm going to let you go now and we'll chat soon, buddy. Thank you again.
Thank you, Andy.
We'll see ya. All right, everyone. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode here on the Lure Lab. We do need to do more episodes all around the wacky rig and stick worms. So stay tuned for those as we move here going forward. I appreciate everyone who tunes in on a weekly basis here on Saturdays on the YouTube or whenever you can tune in and watch. If you're new to this channel, if you're tuning in on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Greatly appreciate it, or leave a comment down below of if you have used the 48 stick worm by Missile Baits. We love to hear it. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and allows you to leave a review, if you have not done so yet, please leave a review. It helps this podcast be seen by more people that love to go bass fishing and want to learn more about the techniques that help you catch more bass. So we'll see. Well, I should say, until next time, we will see you next Saturday.